Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, through two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Beseris, Shloshi Yenas Haim. There are three types of situations when we speak about Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach, when we speak about wine that might be prohibited. We speak first about Yayin Nesach, which is wine that was poured by the Nachrim as part of their Avodah Zarah service. Osbana, such wine is Osbana, Umetamet Tumah Chamura, and it has a very high level Tumah. It has the same level Tumah like a Tumah Smeis. And something that has a Tumah Smeis has the ability to transfer Tumah to Adam V'Kelim, to people and to Kelim. It also has Tumah oil, if anything is in the same oil, in the same place as that. And it also has in it tumas masa, if somebody carries it. The shear of that tumah is bekazayis. When you have a kazayis of wine that has that tumah, that gives off tumah. Stam yainam. But if we have wine that we purchased from Nachrim, that we don't know if it was used for Avodah Zarah or not, the loch is osu b'hano, it's osu b'hano midrabanan, because Chazal, as we learned, made a gzeira of stam yenam because of yayin nesach, and as the Meiri explains, Pinchas in his Bezdin already said that stam yayin is osur, because the not just because of the Avodah Zarah element, but also the concern was that we shouldn't, chas v'shalom, come to marry a non-Jewish woman by drinking that wine. That will cause us to, A, marry a person that we're not allowed to marry, and ultimately also bring us closer to Avodah Zarah if we intermarry with them. Umetam tumas mashkim, if a sheretz touches such wine, it has a tumas sheretz. A tumas sheretz is not the same status of a tumas meis. A tumas sheretz is metama oichlo ramashkin. It's metama oichlo ramashkin, but it's not metama odin v'kelim. And the shear is a revius. And then the next category is hamafka yena etzlov k'chavim. If somebody leaves kosher wine with a nachri, the loch is also b'shtiya. That wine may not be consumed. It's mutar b'hanah, because we only have a question if the nachri even touched the wine. And since it's not clear that the nachri touched the wine, that's why it's not also b'hanah. And the Gemara is assuming that when we are speaking here that the wine was left with a nachri, that it wasn't even sealed. But we don't have reason to believe that it was touched by the Nachri. The Gemara is assuming it's Mutta Bahano. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara about Tanana Mafka Paris of Etzel Kachavim. If somebody leaves fruit by a Nachri without any seal, Harein Kaparis of Shalav Kachavim, we have to be concerned that they have the same status, a fruit of a Nachri, Lashvias. In other words, let's say somebody has fruit that he knows that he properly made sure that fruit doesn't have any Shemitah concern. But he doesn't know if the Nachri did not switch his non-Shvi'is produce with Shvi'is produce. So the halacha is that just like were you to buy produce from a Nachri, if you don't know that it's not a Shemitah issue, you're not allowed to use that fruit. You have to treat it like Shemitah fruit. Here too, you're going to have to treat it like this fruit, that even though the fruit that belonged to you was properly not, doesn't have a Shemitah problem, but you can't be confident that that's the fruit that you left with the Nachri, the Meiser. And the same thing is as far as the Meiser is concerned. You have to be concerned that even though the fruit that you left with the Nachri, he might have switched, that Trumas and Meisers were properly removed. He might have switched and put his fruit, which has a Meiser issue, we have to be worried that they switched. So ask the Gemara, why does the Gemara say that I'm mafkid yeno etzel nachri? If you leave wine by a nachri, we don't have to be concerned that the nachri made a switch. Why is this any different that I'm mafkid peiris etzel a nachri? Says the Gemara, meneshi yichalai karen zavis. The reason why the halachi is that if you leave wine by a nachri, you need not be concerned. It's because you designated a place where it's supposed to be. And since you designated a place where it's supposed to be, so the way I saw the Rishonim explain, Rashi Ritva, that gives it the same status as if you put on a choysim, as you put on a seal. And now that we're learning that if you put on a seal, where we need not be concerned, by doing this, it's the same that you don't have to be concerned that the wine is not the wine that you left there. Ask the Gemara, if designating a place accomplishes that, so it says, ask the Gemara, Hach b'shtiyah namilishtri, so it should be even permissible to drink the wine if we can be confident that it's our wine. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, there was once a situation where Rabbi Yochanan came to the city of Porud, Omar, and he said, Klum Yesh, the Mishnah Bakapara. Bakapara apparently lived there, and he wanted to hear if anybody remembered anything Bakapara taught. Tanalei, and somebody taught him that Rabbi Tamchundim in Porud, Hamafkid, Yena Etzav the Chavim, Mutta Bishtiya, that if you leave wine by the Nachri, you could drink that wine. And Karalei, Rabbi Yochanan, when he heard this psak in the name of Bakapara, quoted the pasuk in Kehelis. The pasuk in Kehelis says, "Makom shiyipal eis sham yihu." The place where Talmud Chacham lived, he still remains there. Says the Gemara, "How do we understand the pasuk? Sham yihu selkadatach? Is it possible to understand the pasuk that he is still there? He unfortunately passed away." Elasham Yehei Peraisav, the fruit that he left. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say was that since he lived there and the people knew what he said, so even though he unfortunately is no longer with us, we could learn from Sham Yehei Peraisav, we could learn from what he taught, we could still learn from the people who are his peiris, from his Talmidim, who heard what he had to say. I saw that the Mefarshim speak about the tzaddikim, even after they leave the war, even after they leave the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves over their influence even after they left the world. And that's shot in this Gemara. The place that the tzaddik was, Shom Yehei Peroisov. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that there's a question throughout Shas. The question that's often asked in Shas is Kinyan Peiris. If you only have a Kinyan of Peiris, that you're allowed to get the Peiris of something, how does the halacha view such a situation? Is it a Kinyan Aguf, or is it not like Kinyan Aguf? Is it like you have real ownership, or is it not considered like you have real ownership? Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that Kinyan Peiris is Kinyan Aguf. If somebody only has a Kinyan Peiris, it's as if he has full ownership. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us here, that because Rabbi Bakapara lived there, and he has Peiris, his Talmidim, it's Kinyan Aguf. And that's Pshat, the famous Gemara Masechta Tainus, Daf Hei Omebeis. The Gemara says, Yaakov Inu Lameis. What's Pshat the Yaakov Inu Lameis? As the Gemara itself asks, we know that they took care of his body and they buried him. So how can we say that Yaakov Inu loymeis? The answer is that when the Gemara means to say that Yaakov Inu loymeis, it means that his influence remains forever. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say here, that Bakapara's influence remains over, says the Gemara. So we see that if you designated a place, that the halacha should be, that's muta b'shtiyah. But we learned before that it's also b'shtiyah, muta b'hanah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, loy kasha. Ha, Rav Elazar, this opinion about Kapara represents the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, ha, what we learned earlier is the opinion of Rabbanim. The Tanya Echa Lekech Lechet Soich Abayis B'chatzer Shalav T'Kachovim. If somebody bought or rented a home in the property of a Nachri, Umalua, and he filled up that property with barrels of wine, Umafteach, and the home and the key is in the hands of the Nachrim, Oichaisim B'yad Yisrael, if the key or the Choisim is in Jewish control, Rabbi Leza says you're allowed to even drink the wine. The Chamam Oisrim, because who knows what happened. So that's shot here, that this is a machloikus tanoim, says the Gemara. To now we've established that we have here machloikus. So Gemara wants to teach us what is the halacha. Amar of Chiyah Burei, Rav Chiyah Burei Nachmeni, Amar of Chizda Amar Rav, Varmalei Amar of Chizda Amar Ziri, Varmalei Amar of Chizda Amar Li Abba Bachama, Hacha Amar Ziri. Ziri taught us that the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, that as soon as there's a Chaysim Echad, we don't have to be concerned, and the wine may be consumed. Amar Rabbi Lezer. So now the Gemara, however, says that Amar Rabbi Lezer, Hakol Mishtamar B'Chaysim Echad. We're allowed to leave the wine with a nakri with one seal. Everything that we're allowed to leave with a nakri, one seal is adequate. Chutz min hayayin, except when we speak about wine, shei mishtam b'chaisim echad, one seal is inadequate. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, tefillah yayin mishtam b'chaisim echad, even wine, one seal is adequate. V'loy pligi, says the Gemara, how do we understand this machlaikis? The machlaikis here is, whose opinion do we follow? Rabbi Yochanan holds that halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Lezer holds that the halacha is like the Rabbanim. So many Rishonim ask the question. We're going to learn later on the Aflamites that Rav himself says, there are four items that need two seals, and one of them is wine. And we learned in Daf Chav Tes similarly that wine needs a chaysim b'tay chaysim. Why over here are we always saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, that one chaysim is enough? Many different answers are offered by Rishonim to this question. Tais was quoting Rabbeinu Tam that says there's a difference, interestingly, Teretz, there's a difference between a Yisrael Choshed, a Yisrael who we're not comfortable with, versus a Nachri. By a Nachri, one Chaysim is enough. By Yisrael, who's not trustworthy, there two Chaysimis are enough. The Taisus says a different Teretz. Taisus says that if you are being mafkid, if you're leaving wine with a Nachri, so the clear understanding when you leave something with somebody is that they're not allowed to touch it. Therefore, one chaysim is enough. However, if you're asking a nachri to transport your wine, there you need two chaysimis. The Ramban says that there's a difference between a mafteach, a key, and a chaysim. He says when you have a key and the place where the wine is locked up, there a key is adequate. But when you're only relying on a chaysim, on a seal, there, even Rabbi Lezer would agree you need to have two chesamis. Ikadamri, but now the Gemara gives a different version in this machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan. Am Rabbi Lezer, hakol mishtar b'chayis b'tay chaysim. Everything chayis b'tay chaysim is adequate. Chutz min hayayin shemishtam afil b'chayis b'tay chaysim. That even a chayis b'tay chaysim is inadequate. Rabbi Yochanan, afil yayin mishtam b'chayis b'tay chaysim. He says that even for wine, a chayis b'tay chaysim will work. But tavayu, they both hold like the opinion of the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Lezer said that one chaysim is enough. So what we're saying now, that everybody agrees that one chaysim is not enough, they cannot be following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. But what is the machlokes? Ma savar, ki pligi Rabbanan alei Rabbi Lezer. What is the dispute of the Rabbanan versus Rabbi Lezer? That Rabbi Lezer said that a chaysim is enough, chaysim echad, and they hold, afil chaysim b'tay chaysim, there they were going to say that it's good enough. And Rebbe Elazar holds that when the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe Eliezer, they mean to completely disagree and hold that a feel taichaisam asri is not good. So ask the Gemara, exactly what is meant when we say chaisam taichaisam. Amar Rava, agaga pum de chavita. If we put a covering on top of the barrel of wine, sharika, and then we seal that covering, and then we put a chasima, we put a seal on top of that strong covering, that is considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. However, v'iloi, if you only put the strong seal over the barrel of wine, but you didn't put a chaisim on top of it, loi. Another example, the Gemara says, dikula, if you put a barrel on top of your barrel of wine, you take a small barrel and you put it on top of your barrel of wine, seal it with cement or mehedik, and then you put it on tightly, and therefore it will be difficult to remove, that's considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. However, if this seal that's put on the top of the barrel of wine, loy mehedik, is not put on tightly, then loy have a chaisim b'tai chaisim. It's not considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. Noid bediskia. If you have a leather flask and you fill it up with wine, and then you put it bediskia, you put it into another leather bag, and chsimas piv, the tying up of the top of that barrel of mata on the bottom of the original bag in which the wine appears, have a chaisim b'tai chaisim. Because now you have a very complicated situation, how to open up this flask. You're going to have to open up from the bottom, and then you have to open up from the top. However, piv lamala, if the two knots are one next to each other, so it's not that difficult to open up, loy v'chaisim b'tai chaisim. Says the Gemara, kikaya piv, but if after you tied up this flask of wine, you put the knot into the flask, you pushed it in, and then with tzai v'chaisim, and then you tied it again and put a seal on top of it, that too, says the Gemara, has the status of a chaisim b'tai chaisim. The bottom line that the Gemara is teaching us is that if you have it in a way where it's very tightly sealed and it's difficult to open, that's going to be considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. If it's a big bother to open, then the halacha is that we could be relevant. We could be lenient. Another important element that the Rishonim point out when we learn this Gemara is that when is a chaisim b'tai chaisim required? That's in a place where Jews aren't there. There's no Yisrael coming in and out. But in a case where where Yisraelim coming in and out all the time, so now we have a new consideration, and that's considered a consideration of a mirsis, and that changes the halacha that we could be much more lenient. The Rishonim discuss, when they discuss the halacha of chaisim, they said anything unusual that the Nachri cannot duplicate or the Nachri does not know exactly what I did is considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. There's some Rishonim that suggest that any two letters could be considered a chaisim b'tai chaisim. And I remember once speaking to Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, well, why would a kosher symbol be considered a valid chaisim if it's something that could be duplicated? And Rabbi Yoshev's attitude was that once Chazal established that it's considered a proper seal, it's not our position that we have to be concerned. If it fits the halachic definition of a chaisim or a chaisim b'tai chaisim, then the halach is we have room to be lenient. The Rishonim also discuss when is a chaisim required and when is a chaisim b'tai chaisim required. And the general rule that the Rishonim say is that if it's if it's a something that's awesome deraisa, then you would need a chaisim tai chaisim. When it's not something that's awesome deraisa, then the halach is that one chaisim is sufficient. Agamar has been speaking as we began the shir that stam yenam osur bahana, and Rashi explained because of a gzeira of yayin esach. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei Sim Kuf Chaf Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch paskins stam yenam shloim to kachavim osur bahana, that you're not allowed to benefit from stam yenam. That means if somebody owns a wine store, a Jew is not allowed to sell non-kosher wine because Shulchan Aruch paskins stam yenam osur bahana. However, the Ramah says there, ubezman hazeh shein hashchiach she'umis menaschem la'avodes kachavim, we live in a time and a place where the Nochrim don't do this type of a service to avodah zara. Since we live now in a time and place that that's what the Nochrim do for avodah zara, yes, says the Ramah, yesh oim demaga oiv dekom b'yayin shalonim, if a Nochri touched our wine, v'kein stam yenam, or we have stam yenam, eina osu b'ano, it's not osu for benefit, el rak b'shtiyu, we're not allowed to drink it. And the dark yeshuva says that based on what we just learned in the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's osu b'ano, so a Sfardi is not allowed to sell stam yenam b'zman hazeh, but according to Ramah, since we followed the Ashkenazim, who followed the opinion of the Ramah, we can't sell stam yenam. So that's the halacha. What's the halacha if you have a liquor store or any type of store that sells stam yenam and it's owned by an Ashkenazi Jew, which the Ramah says we could have that, we could sell that type of wine, but there's a worker who is a Sfardi. What would be the halacha? So he wants to claim that it really depends on a machloikus rishonim. When something is osur to me, but not osur to you, how does the halacha look at it? In other words, if I think something is osur, and you think something is mutter, are you allowed to give it to me? Or because since I think it's osur, by you giving it to me, it's considered that you violated lifnei ivasayta mikshol. And he says, it's a machloikus rishonim. So he says that according to this, that machloikus would be relevant here. If the Sfardi holds like the Shulchan Aruch, which he should, then it's something that he's not allowed to in any way sell, and his employer, who's an Ashkenazi, cannot in any way allow him to do so. In a case where it's not that way, if your own holder is lifnei, then he's allowed to sell it. However, there's another consideration, and that is if when the Ramah was lenient, how do we understand the Ramah's leniency? Do we understand the Ramah's leniency that the Ramah held that there's no issue to sell stam yenam b'zman hazeh? And then we maybe should say, since the Ramah feels that it's completely mutter, he can't make it also for me. But if, on the other hand, the way to look at this halacha is that we hold that the Ashkenazim are not mekel l'chatchila. The Ashkenazim agree that there's room for the chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch, so that maybe we personally may not be machmer, but we should have respect to that minig and not ask a Sfardi to participate in selling something that they hold should not be sold. Tarabon b'shoina, hayoyim yayin shel ein kushi. The wine that comes from Ein Kushi, which is a place where the Kutim lived, Osir, Mimnei Bira Sarika, because they live between the Nochrim, and the Nochrim also live there. And since the Nochrim, since the Kutim were not careful about all the Isuri the Rabbanon, and therefore we have to presume that a Nochri touched our wine. The Shalbarkasa, similarly wine that came from a place called Barkasa, which also had a Kuti population, is also Bnei Kfar Peshoi, because the Nochrim lived in Kfar Peshoi, which is right near there. And we have to assume that the Nochrim touched the wine. Vishal Zingud, also a city of the Kutim, or Asr, they Kfar Shalom. Chazor Lema, then they said, Chavis Psuchis, Asuris, open barrels of wine are Asr, Stumis, Umitaris. So ask the Gemara, let's understand the history of this Gemara. Mikara, my sover, asked the Gemara, Ulubsoif, my sover. Says the Gemara, Mikara sover, En Kuti Makbid Amavar of Chavim. That the Kuti is not concerned about a Nachri touching his wine. And therefore, Loishna Psuchas, Loishna Stumas, we have to always be concerned that the Nachri touched the wine. I now we see a closed barrel. We need to be concerned that the Nachri touched the wine before it was sealed. The Psoif Sover, the Chila Kapid, when is the Nachri not careful, Besuchas, on the open barrels? And they thought, if we have an open barrel, the Nachri is coming to buy it, and we don't have to be concerned. Our Stumas, Nikvit Kupid. Therefore, those Stumas are mutter, because the Nachrim were being careful. The Kutim were being careful not to let the Nachrim touch this. So, ask the Gemara, the Stumas Mataris, why should we not be concerned by the Kutim that the Nachrim maybe touched the wine? For many, the Braisa says, if somebody transports wine with a Kuti, and as we keep on learning, the Kutim were not concerned about Nachrim touching the wine, or somebody sells Shatsir, that's fish sauce, and or shamurius, again, a fish, a dish that was made out of fish, biyarav kachavim, and it was sent with a nachri. If we could tell that this is the original product, mutter, v'mlav osur. And the reason is because we have to be concerned if we can't tell that maybe the nachri touched it. And the same thing by the fish food, we have to be concerned that the Nachri switched the kosher fish food with the non-kosher fish food. So we see that even though this is a closed barrel of wine, we have to be concerned that the Nachri, that the Kuti allowed the Nachri to touch it. So why are we being lenient? Am Rav Zeira Loikasha. Can be ear. When are we lenient? When it's in the city. So since in the city, everybody sees what's going on. Kan b'derech, but when it's being transported on the way, then the aloch is, we have to be more concerned because not everybody sees what's going on. Maskula, Rabbi Yirmiya, mida hanach de'ir loy b'derech asu. But ask the Gemara, how did something get to somebody's house in the city? It was obviously first on the road. Elam, Rabbi Yirmiya, ben agita sheninu. The Bryce that says we could be lenient is we're speaking about a place where the wine is pressed. The Kivan the Kul Alma Afri, since many people go there because they used to bring their grapes to crush Mirsis, the Kuti is scared to make sure nothing happens. But Amar Hashti Ilchazi, if they'll see that I allow the Nachrim to touch it, then mafsili. So wherever it is that mirsis, that he's going to get caught, we could be lenient. But the Meiri points out that even though the Gemara is speaking about the Tzur and Murius at the same time as it's talking about Yayin, the Halacha is not really the same. By Yayin, we need, as we learned, a Chosim, when we speak about Surah Murius, there the Meiri says that one chaysim is enough. Itmar Mabnei Ma'amr Sheikh Shalav Kachavim. What about the beer of a Nachri? So beer is either made out of hops or dates. Why is the halacha that it's asur? Ravim Bachamim Mishim Ravitzuk Mishim Chasnas. We don't want to come to have any social interaction because if we're going to have social interaction with them, we may come to intermarriage. And therefore, people used to drink beer together and socialize, and that could bring to chasnas. Nachlamar, Rav Nachman says, Mishum Gilia, a concern that we discussed already previously, the wine might have been left over. And since the wine might since the beer might have left uncovered, we have the concern that a snake. So here we learned a new halacha, that even when there is no concern for the kashrus, there's a new concern that maybe there is a concept of chasnus, that they're going to be, that we can't participate in any social events with them, a concept that we spoke about earlier in our shir. Now, the Rishonim ask a question. Even if we'll say that we don't have to worry about the kashrus of the beer and it's not being used in a social setting, but why is there no problem of bishlakim when we make the beer? And of course, this question comes up with drinking a coffee as well. Why is there no problem of bishlakim on a coffee? Because if we think about it, well, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem soon the halachas of bishlakim. One, the two requirements that a food should be subject to bishlakim is it's oil al shulchan malachim. It's something that's served in a significant setting. Coffee is certainly something that's served in that type of a setting. And it's erev nechel chai. It can't be eaten raw. Coffee can't be eaten raw. So Tosfos already answers that since, the answer that Tosfos gives is that since it's mainly water, and all that coffee or beer is that they're just giving taste to the water, but you're really drinking water, and in water, there's no problem of bishlakim. Another approach that the Ratvaz suggests, the Ratvaz says that in order for food to be subject to the halacha of bishlakim, it has to be a food that's used lalafis as a pas. It's something that bread is eaten with. And says the Ratvaz, coffee, you drink a coffee at a meal, but coffee is not something that you use to eat with bread. Therefore, it's not subject to the halacha of bishlakim. Says the Gemara. Agilu demai. So the Gemara is saying we should be concerned about gilu by the beer. Ilema gilu nezayisa. If we're worried about the vats where the beer is made, anam mami maglinen, because as we learned our lochs of gilui, the Gemara identified that there are certain liquids that we know that snake never drinks from. And this is one of those liquids. Of the chavita, if you're going to talk about the beer in the barrel, also namim maglinen. Says the Gemara, letzrich de matzlam mayim. There's places that they used to first filter the water before they made it into beer. And that water was left for a couple of days in the barrel to give a chance to all the sediment to settle at the bottom of the barrel, and then they would filter it. And while they were leaving that water for that purpose, there's a concern that the snake drank from it. Ask the Gemara, Elamiato, now they were concerned about the water. So if that's the case, Yoshin, Tishtri, Domem Rabbi Chanina, Yoshin, wine, or anything that we have to be concerned for Gilui when it's mutter, because it could be drank. Ain manichal yashin, because if there would be snake venom in it, it could have never gotten to that quality. Chichmitz, or similarly, if it got sour, if the wine got sour, mutter, we don't have to worry about gilui, because ain manichal chachmitz. So if that's the case, if we see that the wine is old wine, so that's old beer, that's clearly an indication that the snake did not drink from it. If it's clearly an indication that the snake did not drink from it, so we shouldn't have to be worried about gilui on those kind of beverages. Says the Gemara, gzera yosh notachodesh. Yes, yosh and old products should be permissible, but Chazal made a gzera. Says the Gemara, Papa mafkin le lababa the chanusa v'shasi. Rav Papa would take the beer of a nachri to the door of a store and drink it there. He would bring it to his house, but he wouldn't drink it publicly, says the Gemara. But Tavai, both of them thought that the reason you're not allowed to drink it is because of chasness, that we should stay away from them. And the question is, what is enough to show that we are socially distancing from them? Ravachi Ovet Chachok Yiserto. Therefore, he felt that the only way to guarantee that it won't lead to any intermarriage is we only drink it in our home. Says Mar Shmuel Babisna Ikla Lemagun. They came to the city of Magun, in that city he was concerned that the people were not careful with Stam Yenam. Isla Chamra, and therefore when they brought him wine, Velayishta, he refused to drink it. Isla Shekhra, and they brought him beer, Velayishti. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Chamra, we understand why he didn't drink the wine, Mishum Shimtza, the concern by wine of Yain Nesach. But ask the Gemara, Shekhra Mishumai, why did he refuse to drink the beer? Says the Gemara, Mishum Shimtza the Shimtza. He was concerned that if we're going to let him drink the beer, he may come to drink the wine. Amarav, Hai Shikud Darmara, beer that's made by a Nachri, Shari. Chia Buri, but I teach my son Chia, Loinishtaminei, that he shouldn't drink it. So ask the Gemara Manav Shach, is Shari, if it's permissible to be consumed, Lekula Mashari, everybody should be allowed to drink it. And the Osir, if you're not allowed to drink it, then Lekula Amasir, nobody should be drink it. Says the Gemara, Rav Savim Shem Galuya. The reason Rav held that you're now to drink the beer is because we learned before that we have to be concerned that maybe the water from which the beer is produced was left open. He says, Vazel Marur de Kashus Vakal Ezira. He says, most people, even if Chas V'Shalom, the snake drank from it, the bitterness of the hops weakened the poison, the venom, and therefore a healthy person need not be concerned. However, with the lucky, if there's somebody who is a weak disposition, Makalei Tfei, then since he's not really a strong individual, he has to be concerned. He says, V'chia Bari, my son Chia, however lucky, since he's not a healthy person, L'nishtaminei, he should not be allowed to drink from it. Amar Shmuel, Kol HaShrotzim, this halacha that we've been speaking about, Gilui, says Shmuel, doesn't apply only by snakes. Anything that we need to be concerned that a sheretz, that a creeping creature, drank from it, Yeshlam Eris. So, but the only difference is, Shal Nachish, the venom of a snake, kills. Shal Shrotzim, the venom of a sheretz, enemies. Amalei Shmuel Chia Barav, Bar Aryeh. That means you're the son of a lion, you're the son of a great person. Tava Emelach Milsam Ayasa, Tava Amavuch. I want to tell you something that I heard from your father. Hach Amavuch, Armoy Zuknoim. If you see a Nachri who's swelled up, Tava Shasa Galuya. Because they drank liquids that were exposed to the snake. Vloy Maisi, so why don't they die? Either the Uchli Shkots and Ramoshim, because they're used to eating Shkots and Ramoshim, Chaval Galfayu. So their body is of a different type of disposition. And since their bodies are different, their diets make it that the snake venom doesn't affect them. So based on this, Gemara the Chasam Sofer says that if you have a medical procedure which was proven effective on Nachrim, we cannot assume that it's going to be effective for Jews as well. Because he says that our Gemara just taught us that we Jews who have a very different diet than Nachrim, that we only eat kosher food and they eat non-kosher food. Therefore, we can't know from what happens to them to us. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, one has to be very careful when you're deciding a question about medical procedure. The fact that it was effective for Nachrim does not mean it will be effective for Jews. Omer Reb Yosef, Hai Chal de Shikud Arma, the vinegar that's made from the beer of a Nachri, Osir. one can't have any anor from it, because the ma'aver be'idudaya the yayin nesach, they put into it the sediment of the wine, and since you put into it the sediment of the wine, it has the din of wine. Says the Mara, however, Amar of Ashi Moitz Shari, but if it's taken out of a warehouse, then we could be lenient. And the reason is that Kivin the Ma'arvi Bey, if they were going to put into the wine, if they were going to put into the beer this wine sediment, it will, Misri Sari, it will cause it to become spoiled. So if we see that this wine, that this beer was put away for storage, it's a proof that there was no set, there was no wine ingredient put into it. And therefore, if it's pure beer, as we've been learning in our shir, then it can be consumed by a Jew.